We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today I'm doing another live coaching call focused on a topic that many of you are probably nervous to talk about. We're talking about setting financial goals for your business. My guest today is Jessica Baskin, who runs Joy Lark Studio. Jess attended our Paper Camp conference in 2018 and has been slowly building her wholesale business while also growing her family and holding down a day job. Jessica creates greeting cards and art prints using her illustrations and hand lettering, and today we are talking about how to set monthly income goals for her business. Now, in this episode, I am sharing two strategies for setting monthly revenue goals. One is for brand new companies who don't have sales data to pull from, and the other is for seasoned companies who want to set growth goals based on the previous year's revenue, so basically comparing year-over-year numbers. Now, before we get started, I wanted to let you know that the doors to Proof to Product Labs will be opening soon. This is our new community experience for any and all product makers, where we will talk about business models, diversifying revenue, marketing strategies, and all the things that you need to build a strong foundation in your business. So head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs and get early access to all of our founding member benefits. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. And I'll make sure to include that here in our show notes too. All right, everyone, enjoy this live coaching session with Jessica Baskin of Joy Lark Studio. Hey, Jessica, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Katie. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really excited about this topic. I think it's one that many of us need to discuss and learn from. So before we get started and dive into your hot seat question, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell everyone your business name, what you sell, and how long you've been doing this thing?
Sure. My name is Jessica Baskin, and I am the designer behind Joy Lark Studio. I make cards and art prints for the most part, and everything I do is meant to warm hearts, I say, for people who like to bring joy but don't take themselves too seriously. So there's usually some humor weaved in, and a lot of my work involves my own illustration and hand lettering.
Love it.
And I intentionally use recycled paper and try to be as eco-friendly as possible. And I got started, I feel like back in 2013, I was sort of just playing around. So it feels like so long ago, but I don't think I really got serious and chose this business name until 2017, right before I did Paper Camp in 2018. And that's when I really started focusing on wholesale, because before that, I really had like no idea about that world at all.
Yeah.
And then, so I have two young girls. One is 4, one is almost 1. So I want to say I started going into wholesale in 2018, but it's been very slow between being pregnant and a mom.
Yeah.
So 2019 was the year that I, you know, kind of started to dig my heels in, had my second daughter. And now this year I'm trying to dig into it. Like, for real. So.
I understand those little, like, life happenings that kind of, you know, just slow you down in different ways. But that's okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like that was long, but it's certainly, like, slow growth, too. I'm taking that to another level.
No. Well, you know my mantra around this. Slow growth is how strong businesses are built, because it gives us time to really think through what we're doing and make smart decisions. So I applaud you. Well, thank you for being on the show today. And thank you for, you know, being brave to come and talk about a topic that a lot of people have a hard time discussing. So why don't you share what you're working on and what I can help you with?
Sure. So as I mentioned, I've been trying to go after wholesale, and I know it's not just being a mom, like everybody has different things going on in their lives, but I feel like I'm trying to reach a certain point in my business that I can rely on it more financially. I have a day job also, mm-hmm. and that's great. But I would like this to be supplemental, you know, for my family and I, and not feeling like just a hobby, which is great if that's what I want it to be, but I want it to be more supportive. So my main question for you is how to set up a realistic goal for like a financial goal mm-hmm. that I should be, or that I would like to be making monthly. And I have a number in mind that I know would be supportive of my family and our lifestyle. But I feel like getting to that is a whole nother story where it almost feels like I'm living in this like dream world. So I'm just curious about like from someone who has built multiple businesses from the ground up and had, I'm sure like you had some really strong strategies in place to get to your goals. And I know you've made like changes as you needed along the way that were difficult. So just like keeping focused on those things and knowing where to head, especially like money is not my thing. So.
Well, to be honest with you, the large majority of our community is not super focused on the monetary side of it because you guys are creative artists. Your focus is on the work that you're creating, and you know, the business side feels a little harder for some of you. So first of all, you are not alone in that. The second thing is I would like to tackle first how to set a financial goal for yourself, and then we can talk about some of the strategies if that's all right.
That's great. I will take all the advice you have.
Okay. All right. So there's two different ways that I work with companies on setting financial goals for themselves. Ultimately, it's kind of going to depend on where you are in your business, like what phase of business you're in. So for you, you're still kind of at that earlier phase, right? So I want you, what I recommend to companies in their earlier phase of business is look at your personal finances, which it sounds like you've already done, and look at what your monthly expenses are. How much money do you need on a monthly basis to pay for your housing, for your food, for your kids' activities, you know, childcare, healthcare, entertainment, all of the different things that we need to live our day-to-day lives, right? And then mm-hmm. from there, I want you to, once you know those numbers and know kind of what amount of money you need to kind of just sustain your lifestyle, I like to recommend people break things down into three different income goals based upon these expenses that you've calculated. So I like to break things down into good, better, and best income goals. Now, good, your good one, that's going to be kind of the bare minimum. That's going to be what you need to pay the bills, and there's not really much room for extras there. Your better income goal, the middle one there, that is going to allow you to pay your bills. It's going to give you a little bit of room for some extras or maybe to start putting some money into your savings account, but it's not a ton extra, right? And then your best, that's where I want it to be like pie in the sky goals of like, okay, all of your bills are paid, all of the extras you want to do, like travel and leisure and all the fun things, your savings account, your emergency account is up there. And maybe you're putting some money into retirement too. Like that's how I kind of want you. That's like the largest number that I want you to strive for. And I found that by breaking it up into those three different options of income goals, you're setting yourself up to kind of climb a ladder, if you will. So you know you need that good number to pay your bills and to sustain your general lifestyle, but having that better and the best goals, it gives you something to aim for. It gives you something to reach for. And oftentimes we see that it's more attainable than we think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a lot. And I never thought to break it up like that. You know, like I kind of just have like this one number in mind and it just feels unreachable. So this is definitely, it's nice to think of breaking it up into smaller chunks, you know,
totally.
And kind of like checking off the good and then the better and hopefully the best.
Exactly. Like,
as you build up.
And the other thing to consider in your specific circumstances is you have your day job and I assume your husband's also working too. So you have those finances that are playing into your overall numbers. So, you know, your numbers for the business that the business has to earn every month may look different than somebody else that is relying solely on their business income to sustain their general life. So, you know, everyone's numbers are going to look different here, but focusing on what you need for just that good bare minimum, that better that gives you a little bit of extra, and then that best that really sets you up for, you know, stronger financial stability is what I want you to be focused on. Now, looking at this from the point of view of a business that has been doing this for a while and has some data about sales and has been doing consistent marketing and releases and outreach and all of the things, I have them work these numbers in a little bit of a different manner. I still want them to know what they need on a month-to-month basis, but if they have the data from previous years to see what the business income was, I switch this up a little bit. So I will have them look at what their previous year's income was for the business and then set a goal that they want to hit above and beyond that. So let's hypothetically, I wrote down a little note here. Let's hypothetically say that your business made $75,000 last year. And let's say that you want to try to do a 20% increase. Now, that's a pretty big increase, and most companies don't have that big of a jump from year to year, but let's just pretend that that's what we want. Okay, so let's say you want to make $90,000 this year, and we divide that by 12. That would be $7,500 per month, which, you know, to some people that may seem like a lot, to some people that may not seem like much, but up from $75,000. Let's see, $75,000 a year divided by 12. That's up from $6,250 a month. So going this way, I would still want you to implement some good, better, best numbers. Maybe your good is what you made last year, you know, the $75,000. Maybe the best is that 20% increase, which would be $90,000. And maybe your better, that middle zone, would be like a 10% increase, right? Like it's still, we want it to still exceed what you did the previous year, but we want to have different tiers again to reach for. And again, if you're a brand new business, I want you to make sure that you're basing these off of your monthly expenses because that's what you need to live. But as your business grows and you start to have some of this data in place, you can work off of forecasts from the previous year's income into what you want to make for the following year. Does that help and make sense?
Yeah, that helps a ton. And I love that you can break it down yearly too. It just seems to be more approachable that way to me. Even just thinking of like, because I have my main income from my day job and my husband's income, like adding on to that to kind of get to that better and best place too.
Yeah. And too, when you think of the best number, think of like all the extras, like really truly dream big. Like if you have plans to buy a new car or you want to put a certain amount into your retirement account or you want to start, you know, saving for kids' braces or I don't know, like, you know, whatever it is that or you want to go on a big trip or a vacation or something, like weave that into what you want your best number to be because that's you living your best life there. So, okay, now we've talked about running your numbers basically from your monthly expenses up if you don't have previous sales data to look at. We've talked about how to identify your financial goals and forecast from previous year's data if your business has been running for a bit. But I know you wanted to talk strategy too of like how you can implement this stuff. I will tell you this is a tougher question to answer. And I know that you are in my mastermind group and we will talk about it in further depth there. But I think it's really about honing in to make this more applicable to the listeners too. It's really about identifying the revenue streams that are the highest and best use of your business, if that makes sense. So basically, I want you to look at every single revenue stream and see how much time you're implementing into it, how much money it's making you, how much like excitement you have for it, and then leaning into the areas that are the most profitable and also not stressing you out the most, if that makes sense.
If I'm enjoying myself while I'm doing it too.
Yeah. You don't want to be pulling your hair out if something doesn't fill you up and or too, you might find that it's not making you money either. So in terms of the strategy side, I want you to get really clear on where your revenue is coming from, which revenue streams are working for you. And then it's about building out just a really smart strategy on the marketing side for how you're reaching them and how you're also creating new releases on a regular basis and being consistent with your outreach and communication. And there's a lot more nuances to that. So if you have a specific question about that, I can tackle that too.
I guess personally where I struggle, and I'm not sure this will really apply to everyone, but it's that consistency and having the young kids right now, like my schedule's extremely interrupted.
Yeah.
And if I want to get anything done, with absolute quiet. It's either during nap time or late at night. And, you know, I'm trying to get away from burning that midnight oil because it's just, in the long run, it's more detrimental, I feel like. And so I guess it's like focusing on the strongest pieces of my outreach and my strategy, and maybe I can like hone in on those and stay true to those, and some of the other stuff can fall by the wayside. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like social media has such a big presence, but I'm wondering if like maybe that's less important, for instance, than my email outreach, you know, where it's personal. And
right. So I want you to get crystal clear on which audience you're going to speak to first, if it's going to be wholesale is going to be your focus, or if retail is going to be your focus. And then from there, once we know who you're talking to, like for the wholesale side, I feel like email is your strongest communication tool there, and also releasing new products on a regular basis. Those two things are what buyers want to see. And not that buyers want to see your emails, but they want to know what's new, and they want to know what you have that are your best sellers, and you know what specials you're running. And email communication is the best way to share that with them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They are searching social media, and they are looking for makers that way and new products that way. But I feel like it's more direct-to-consumer that's focused on social. And even on direct-to-consumer side, the retail side, the email's strong there too. But it's just very difficult for one brand to do both of those well, to communicate with both of those audiences well. And you also have other limitations. So I would choose one to start with. And in this case, I'd probably recommend you focus on wholesale, and I would recommend you get those emails going once a month, and you know that warm-up email sequence that we talked about separately in our mastermind group, like get that going. That's not to say I want you to ignore social media, but I just feel like that connection over email can be a lot stronger and a lot more tailored too.
Plus, I guess like I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon, but social media could always change or go away, where you know I don't own a list on social media, and
totally
the email is a little more reliable and personable.
And too, I feel like social media, I love social, I love connecting with our customers there, however it's a day-to-day grind, right? Like we feel pressure and have these expectations to be on social every single day. That's 365 pieces of content that we have to create and push. Whereas on the wholesale side, I'm telling you to do like 12 emails a year, which many people find overwhelming, but at the same time, 12 is a lot fewer than 365, right?
Definitely.
So just trying to put things into perspective of who am I talking to? What am I communicating to them? And how am I serving them? How am I giving them information that helps make the buying decision very simple and easy so that they want to purchase from me, that they want to work with me, that they want to come back and reorder frequently from me?
Awesome. That makes a lot of sense.
Cool.
And I'm sorry, I'm just thinking aloud here because something else we had briefly talked about in our mastermind group that I kind of wanted to bring up with you also separately now was as far as like watching that monetary goal every month. If you feel like you're not quite hitting it, you know, like I feel like I don't necessarily have that strategic mind where I'm thinking like, okay, well now I should run a sale, or, you know, now I should do this. And sometimes I have been doing personal emails to retailers, but I also feel like I'm bothering them. Like, okay,
you're not bothering them. Let me interject that right now. Yep.
Yeah. So I guess, would you have any tips for like quick strategies to put in place? And I'm sure it would, that might be a hard question to answer because it's probably different for everyone and like what's going on in your line in the world right then and there, but ways to get closer to your goal.
Yeah. So I think my first piece of advice there, and this isn't specific to your business necessarily, because I agree with you, this is very custom to like what I would tell you would be different than what I tell somebody else. But in general, we need to be very proactive in our marketing plan. So I want you to really be strategic about how you're going to be approaching your buyers through the entire year. The emails we just talked about, that's just one piece of it. You know, we want to layer in other things and other ways that you're communicating with them, whether you're sending a postcard, whether you're connecting with them on social media, whether you're sending a catalog and a couple of samples, all these different things. You can run a promotion, whatever it is. So I like to work with you guys to make sure that you have a larger marketing plan in place to once these financial goals are identified, then let's make the marketing plan to help you hit those goals. Now, the thing on the product world is that there are ebbs and flows in business, like any business, right? But there are certain times a year where buyers on the wholesale side are buying more. And so we also need to be aware of that and recognize that, okay, there are going to be slow months. So what can I proactively do to either continue the outreach? Like, what else can I layer into my existing plan? So step one is having an existing plan that is proactive and does layer in your releases and your promos and all the different marketing pieces you want to do, right? The second piece of this is being reactive, but I want this to be the secondary piece. So on top of what you're already doing proactively, if, for example, you have a down month or if, you know, something happens in the world, I want you to have kind of your backup plan in place of like, okay, if sales are down this month, then I'm going to run an extra promotion or I'm going to send a couple extra emails on these things. Like in your back pocket, you should have a backup plan for how to kind of bump your numbers up to what your goals are if you're finding that you're not making those numbers. However, I also want you to be kind to yourself and realize there are ebbs and flows in this industry. And, you know, some months you may not hit your goal, but some months you may exceed it far. So that's where you need to look at things on a monthly perspective, but I also want you looking at things on a more annual perspective. Does that help?
Yes. Okay. That's awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Of course. So here's what I want your homework to do. It sounds like you already have a number in mind that you want to be striving for. I would like you to go back to those numbers and look at what your good, better, and best numbers would be for your family in terms of what you need your business to earn on a monthly basis. If you do have sales data from your company for the last couple of years, I do want you to pull those reports and I want you to look at how the numbers have increased or decreased, kind of look at what the pattern has been for the data that you do have and see how those numbers are aligning between your good, better, best goals and then, you know, where your numbers have been in previous years. And then from a marketing and strategy perspective, I do want you to work on that overarching annual plan that I know we're talking about in our mastermind group, but I just want to emphasize to you that it is it's just like a building block, right? We're going to layer different types of marketing, different types of pieces into that. And so let's start with just the 12 emails. Let's start with just those introductory emails that we talked about in your welcome sequence. And then from there, we can add in other things. But I find that when we try to do too much at one time, most people just like stop doing everything because it, it paralyzes
exactly
them.
Exactly how I feel right now.
I 100%. So I do not want to overwhelm you, but really what I'd like you, I would like you to revisit those financial goals first and see if you're still in alignment with what you had previously calculated. I also think there's a lot of people who have day jobs and then they switch to being an entrepreneur and they make these financial goals based upon what they were earning in the corporate world. And I know that makes for an easy benchmark of, well, I was making this much there, and so I need to make that now. But the truth of the matter is your business may not make that for a while. You know, it takes a while to build up that kind of momentum. So really looking at what your needs are as an individual or if you have a family or, you know, a partner, whatever your circumstances are, what you need on a month-to-month basis, start there and work up from there.
Okay. What you're spending monthly and
exactly
what you need.
Awesome. All right, Jess. Well, I hope I didn't overload you with too much homework. I know we talked about a lot of different topics on today's call, but I hope they were all helpful to you.
No, actually, you dialed everything in for me. So instead of feeling very scattered, I feel like I can approach this with a much clearer mind and I really appreciate it. This is great.
Of course. I'm so glad that it helped you. Okay. Before we sign off though, I want to ask you, can you share your website and your social handles so people can find you up online?
Sure. So everything's Joy Lark Studio. That's JoyLark Studio, one word, .com and at Joy Lark Studio, mostly on Instagram, but I'm also on Facebook and Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jess. I appreciate your time today and for sharing so openly with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Katie. This was really helpful.
Good. I'm glad. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed sitting in on that hot seat call. It's always so much fun for me to sit down one-on-one with people and really dig into their business needs and what they're working on. So thank you for joining me today. I also wanted to let you know that today our Proof to Product Labs program is opening for enrollment. And I really want to encourage you to go check it out before May 8th, because we have dropped the price so low for this for our founding members, and that is all going to go away at the end of the day on May 8th. So if you want to learn more about what's included in the program, what we have coming up for the first 3 months of content, and how you can get locked in at our founder's rate, head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.